space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Practice what you preach. It's an admonition that we've all heard sometime in our lives when we're acting like hypocrites. It makes me wonder if Al Gore's parents ever scolded him for preaching one thing while doing another. This question came to mind after the release of Gore's follow-up to An Inconvenient Truth. You see, after the original movie came out in 2006, Gore was lambasted for being a hypocrite. While Gore was predicting climate doom because we are all using too much energy, his own electric bills proved he was burning 20 times more electricity than the average American household. There's nothing more destructive to a crusader's cause than hypocrisy. So Gore jumped into action. He put 33 280-watt solar panels on his roof and, among other improvements, installed geothermal. It seemed he was serious because he spent $250,000 on the renovation. Well, that's the way it seemed anyway. To coincide with the release of Gore's sequel, the National Center for Public Policy Research conducted a new study to see if Gore had stopped being a hypocrite. Guess what? 10 years later, Al Gore is an even bigger energy hog. Gore is burning up not 20, but 34 times the electricity than the national average. The National Center discovered that from August 2016 through July 2017, Gore spent almost, get this, $22,000 on electricity bills for his posh Nashville home. Gore uses so much electricity, all those solar panels provide less than 6% of his power consumption. And by the way, Gore owns at least two other large homes, and they were not included in this analysis. Some folks want to give Gore a pass because his home is huge, more than 10,000 square feet, but that argument doesn't hold up. Efficient homes use between 5 and 10 kilowatt hours of electricity per square foot each year, no matter how large or small. Gore's home uses 23. Doesn't it make you wonder what the heck is going on in there? Gore divorced his wife Tipper several years back, and she lives in her own mansion in California. And Gore travels a lot, so the home is presumably empty a good percentage of the time. What's got that electric meter running so hard? Well, it's great fun pointing out Gore's astonishing hypocrisy. There's a more important point to be made here. Gore had to know his electricity bills would be scrutinized when the new film came out. Yet, he became an even bigger energy hog. What the former vice president's actions tell us is that it's more important for him to live the life of an energy-guzzling fat cat than it is to be a crusader who lives modestly so he actually has some credibility. Finally, and this is the most important fact of all, when Al Gore's term as vice president ended, he was worth about $2 million. He then focused all his attention on becoming the world's chief climate change alarmist. It was an extremely lucrative career move. He's now estimated to be worth $300 million. So ask yourself, what's driving Al Gore? Is it really a sincere concern for the planet? Or is sounding the alarm about climate change a great way to get rich? Power on, America.
It's a great way to get rich. That's what it's all about. You're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. Let's fill them up, people. As well as that, if you scroll down underneath those chat rooms and click on the banner ad for People Radio, you got another chat room that you can access over there. So, green energy hypocrisy. What's it all about? Well, you just heard about Al Gore. You know, all these people out there that's always promoting climate change and climate disruption and global warming, or like I say always, whatever's going to be next week when the math don't add up, still ride around in corporate jets, still ride around in corporate limousines, still running around using fossil fuels, the so-called fossil fuels. Y'all know how I feel about that if you've been listening in. And, you know, they still get their electricity from the power grid, which is a very small fraction of which is, you know, what they call green energy. Personally, I believe that the green energy movement and Greenpeace and all these other all these other supposed entities that are out there to save the planet, I believe that they're the ones that are actually causing the death of all the different researchers that you hear about. You know, John Bedini, Stan Myers, and, you know, even to the extent of Tesla, you know, with all the information that he helped everyone with and basically got no credit for, even in the school books. Nobody taught about Tesla in school. You know, they taught about all the other mainstream science guys and gals, but they never taught about Tesla. You didn't have to find out about him until you stumbled onto him on the internet. So with that said, you know, I'm saying that you got all these debunkers out there about free energy, and you got all these entities fighting against energy, free energy, and you got governments that are basically hypocrites when it comes to reducing carbon footprint. Think about the carbon footprint of the just the U.S. government alone. That's a lot. That's a lot of machinery that's running around on diesel and gas and, you know, and probably very rare incidents, some hydrogen technology, which would be the best go as far as I'm concerned. But nonetheless, it's, you know, it's a massive amount of hypocrisy. And every time somebody tries to stick their neck on the line to say, hey, we can resolve this oil crisis, you know, this supposed oil crisis, it always never ends it ends up faring well for those individuals. So I'm going to play a couple different little podcasts here and maybe jump in there and mouth off once in a while and see where this show goes. So stay tuned.
Hello everyone, Simon Whistler, you're watching Top 10s.net, and in the video today we're looking at the top 10 alternatives to alternative energy. Number 10, buoyant airborne turbine. Countries like China, the United States, Germany, Denmark, Spain, and India produce over 175,000 megawatts of power with traditional wind turbines, but that number stands to double if they're replaced.
Wind turbines, windmills, Greenpeace is always out there hollering about how they're going to chop up the birds and kill the bats and stuff like that. So there's one mode of hypocrisy. Don't want to use windmills, can't use those because they will cause you to chop up the birds. Put a screen around it.
With BATs. The technology is simple. Basically, a huge blimp with a wind turbine in the middle is secured to the ground and hoisted to altitudes of nearly 2,000 feet. At that elevation, winds are blowing at much greater speeds and thus generate twice the power. These new turbines can withstand wind speeds of up to 43 miles per hour, after which the BAT can automatically duck for cover to whatever altitude is safe. The environmental impact is far less visible at such heights, not to mention the 90% cost reductions in terms of transportation and deployment. Unlike traditional turbines, BATs can easily be dismantled and redeployed elsewhere if needed.
Number 9. Oyster.
With over 70% of the world's surface covered in water, it's a surprise that tidal wave energy was left behind in the race for renewable energy. Oyster is an attempt to bring this form of energy back to the forefront. Its design is that of a flap pushed and pulled by the waves, 50 feet underwater and 1,600 feet offshore. Through this endless cycle, Oyster is able to pump energy all the way back to a standard hydroelectric power plant on the mainland. So far, two flaps have been successfully tested off the coast of Scotland. Oyster 1 was able to produce 315 kilowatts of power, while Oyster 800, don't ask us to explain their naming convention, managed a whopping 800 kilowatts capable of bringing power to around 80 houses. Waves are a frequent phenomenon, unlike tides that only come and go a couple of times a day. The Oyster can also operate in stormy conditions. The first Oyster farm capable of producing 40 megawatts is currently being developed off the northwestern coast of Scotland, with future plans for a larger 200 megawatt farm near the Orkney Archipelago.
Number 8. Algae-based biofuels.
Biofuels are crop-derived ethanol or biodiesel made primarily out of rapeseed, corn, wheat, sugarcane, sugar beet, soy, or other crops. But all of these crops need land to grow on, which is either required by replacing food production crops or by cutting down forests, neither of which is viable in the long run. A better approach is to use algae. Since some algae have a natural oil content of around 75%, they can be easily processed into biofuel. The rest of the plants can be used as fertilizer to grow even more algae. It grows very quickly and doesn't need any farmland or fresh water to do so. On average, algae can produce around 5,000 gallons of ethanol per acre in 1 year, as compared to only 800 gallons produced with sugarcane. Scientists at the Rochester Institute of Technology in New York have also discovered that these biofuel-producing algae can also clean wastewater. They consume nitrates and phosphates and also reduce toxins and bacteria. The state of Alabama became home to the first algae biofuel system that also cleans wastewater. Because the entire traditional water treatment process is excluded, algae growing is carbon negative.
Number 7. So
algae, duckweed, watermill, all the different things that farmers inadvertently create havoc as far as your ponds because they over-fertilize their land, could actually be a positive and actually could use the same disaster to refertilize their property or refertilize their crops or whatever, their farmland, and then recycle that same nutrients over and over again. But once again, you'll have different people out there saying that, well, you know, you're going to kill off this species of turtles or that bird or whatever. So let's just keep going. This is ridiculous.
Solar windows.
Every second, the sun bombards the Earth with a whopping 174 quadrillion watts of energy, and we're only just beginning to tap into that immense power. The problem with standard solar panels is that they convert a maximum of only 20% of the sun's energy into electricity, all the while being very costly in terms of production. The scientists from the University of California have discovered a way to make solar panels transparent. The material is a plastic-like substance which is transparent in the normal light spectrum, but is able to pick up infrared light. Because it's made of plastic, it's relatively cheap to manufacture compared to traditional solar panels. It can also double as an ordinary window in someone's house. Every sun-bathed window in the world could convert solar energy into electricity.
Number 6. Volcanic electricity.
A geothermal plant is like a coal plant without the coal. They both work on the principle of heating water until it becomes steam, which in turn runs turbines that produce electricity. The difference is that instead of burning coal, a geothermal plant will use the heat of the earth itself. By drilling holes into the ground some 2 to 6 miles deep, temperatures can reach 160 to 600 degrees Fahrenheit. Places with high volcanic activity are ideal for this type of renewable energy, since underground magma is much closer to the surface and holes don't have to be dug so deep. Iceland recently drilled a hole and hit a pocket of magma by mistake. They decided to pour water down the shaft to see what happens. What they witnessed was something record-breaking. Steam gushed out at temperatures of 842 Fahrenheit. For comparison, steam generated at geothermal plants usually hovers around 158 degrees Fahrenheit. These traditional plants produce around 40 megawatts of energy, good for roughly 11,500 homes. This discovery is still in its testing phase, but this type of power could multiply the amount of electricity produced by geothermal plants tenfold.
Number 5. Beta ray.
We just discussed the vast amount of energy the sun produces and the inefficiency of standard solar panels. André Brossel, a German architect, has come up with a simple yet brilliant idea to increase the energy output in photovoltaic cells. By incorporating a liquid-filled glass sphere in the design of a solar panel, the energy output is increased by 34%. It's fitted with a tracking device that's able to follow the sun on its daily migration west. And the beta ray can also tap into the sun's rays on overcast days, producing 4 times the energy of a normal solar panel. It can even draw energy from the moon on clear nights. The device is specifically designed to work for individual houses or buildings, places with limited space for solar panel deployment. It can easily be fitted onto inclined surfaces and curtain walls. The project is still in its development stage, but once finished, it might change the look of rooftops around the world.
Number 4. Viruses.
A breakthrough took place at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California, where scientists managed to create a virus that can produce an electrical charge when a material is mechanically deformed or stressed. This material is made out of the engineered M13 virus, which usually infects bacteria. Long story short, it's a device that transforms a simple gesture like pushing a button or sliding your finger on a screen into electricity. Its practical applications are endless, with many being used on wireless technologies like mobile phones and laptops. The development will most certainly make our other devices and appliances less dependent on the power grid, and even become more portable in the process. What's even greater is that this virus can be sprayed onto any surface, like the floor or a chair, and then produce electricity when it's stimulated by movement or pressure. but we won't get too far ahead of ourselves. In its current state, the maximum output generated was a quarter of that of a AAA battery.
Number 3. Thorium.
Thorium is a radioactive metal similar to uranium, but it can produce 90 times more energy at a fraction of the weight. It's also 3 to 4 times more abundant in nature, and just 1 gram of the stuff is the equivalent of 7,400 gallons of gas in terms of energy. Because of this, Connecticut's Laser Power Systems Company has come up with a plan to create a thorium-based engine for cars. By using a laser powered with only 8 grams of thorium to heat up water and generate steam, a car can run for more than 100 years or 1 million miles without the need to refuel. The engine only weighs 500 pounds, making it able to replace a standard vehicle's engine. The greatest challenge is the fact that thorium hasn't proven its potential on a commercial scale. Because a focus was placed on uranium as the prime nuclear fuel for the last 60 years, thorium-based reactors are a lot more expensive to build, and the science, while sound, is mostly theoretical.
Number 2. The Impossible Microwave Thruster.
As the need to travel into space increases in the coming decades, the technology of a microwave-powered thruster couldn't have come at a better time. If viable, this technology could radically change the design of future spacecraft, eliminating the need to carry fuel. With half of any given spacecraft's mass being fuel, this is a big deal. This energy was labeled as impossible since it defies Newton's third law, the law of momentum conservation. This law states that in order to move forward, an object must leave something behind. In this case, rocket fuel is being ejected in order to propel a spacecraft. But by making microwaves bounce off reflectors inside a sealed chamber, scientists were able to achieve thrust without the use of propellant. The idea was first exhibited in 2006 by scientist Roger Scheuer. It was again proven by a team of Chinese researchers in 2012, but the science wasn't taken seriously since it went against fundamentals in physics. Only in July 2014 was the idea accepted thanks to Guido Fetter from NASA. Even now, scientists aren't really sure how it works, but they agree that it does. It still has a long way to go, though. The thrust generated wasn't even enough to lift a penny off a table.
Number 1. International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor.
Nuclear power has been the most reliable source of green energy we currently possess. Setting aside tragic accidents and the fact that it produces nuclear waste, this form of energy doesn't pollute the environment nor cause any harm if we're careful. Further development has generated some amazing results, one of which is the Traveling Wave Reactor, which is capable of producing electricity from the waste left behind by traditional nuclear reactors. The technology could theoretically power the entire United States for the next 7 centuries. The real prize, however, is the ITER. It's a project so important that China, India, the EU, Japan, South Korea, the United States, and Russia have come together to make it work. It's located in southern France, and it's the equivalent of building a sun in our own backyard. ITER will be able to replicate the processes happening inside a star. Unlike fission, where atoms are torn apart to create energy, fusion binds two elements to generate even more power. This type of energy isn't threatening, it doesn't produce waste, and it's the closest thing we could come to an endless source of power based on our current understanding of the universe. With every 50 megawatts it needs to work, it gives 500 megawatts in return, enough to power 130,000 homes. The theoretical knowledge has been around for decades, but the problem was in building a reactor capable of withstanding temperatures above 150 million degrees. This will be achieved by using electromagnets to keep the hot plasma away from the reactor's wall. The project began way back in 1985, but only in 2010 did the technology become available to start construction. Future predictions say that by the middle of the 2030s, ITER will begin its operations and be integrated into the power grid as early as 2040.
So I really hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please do give us a like below and don't forget to subscribe. Also, if you enjoyed this video, why not check out some of our other videos, which are linked to over there on the right. One is the top 10 technologies that invade your privacy. And below that, we've got the top 10 jobs that robots will dominate in 20 years. I know if you're on a mobile device, you can't click those and you can't click that subscribe button on the screen. So there will be links to all...
So, with all that so far, why isn't it... Why are all these technologies not being researched and developed a lot faster? It's a good question. And I think I got the answer. ¶¶
live in a vast sea of energy. Everything, every atom, every subatomic particle is in constant motion, spinning eternally. Even in the cold, dark, absolute vacuum of empty space, there exists what new physics is calling the quantum vacuum flux. It is the ether of the ancients, the life force energy of metaphysics, are the random fluctuations of this vast field of potential in which space and time are embedded. Now, theoretically and mathematically proven, the question no longer is, does this zero-point energy exist? But rather, can we tap this inexhaustible resource of free and unlimited energy and manifest new technologies which are both inexpensive and environmentally safe? One thing is certain. If we continue on the course of rapidly burning fossil fuels and relying on nuclear fission, the future of our civilization is in grave jeopardy. We're at a critical juncture where the ravages of industrial pollution and radioactive waste have exceeded the carrying capacity of Mother Earth. Our finite reserves of oil and gas will be completely exhausted by the year 2025 at the present rate of consumption. Large corporate and governmental self-interest ignore this pending crisis and resist change to the status quo. The question must be asked, is this the kind of world we want to pass down to future generations? Emerging on the frontiers of science, a pioneering breed of theoretical physicists and inspired inventors are challenging the way we think about harnessing the unseen forces of nature. Despite ridicule, lack of funding, and outright suppression, they are confronting an outmoded classical worldview and ushering in a monumental scientific revolution. In this program, you will witness the groundbreaking work of tireless inventors and visionary scientists who may hold the keys to true energy independence for every person on Earth, from Nikola Tesla to the reality of coal fusion and beyond. Join us as we present Free Energy, the Race to Zero Point.
Most people would agree you can't get something for nothing. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And yet, we get our oxygen free from the air we breathe. We get sunlight free and water. That used to be free until bottled drinking water came along. But what about energy? We've always had to pay for that, whether it's wood or coal, oil or electricity. It's always been the rule that you can never get back more energy than what you put in the first place. That's a fundamental law of nature. Physicists of the 19th century figured that out with the first law of thermodynamics, the conservation of energy. Maybe so, but science has come a long way since then. And laws? Well, there's never been one that hasn't been broken.
At the turn of the last century, Nikola Tesla, the great inventor who gave us alternating current and the Tesla coil, stated,
"Electric power is everywhere present in unlimited quantities. I can drive the world's machinery without the need of coal, oil, gas, or any other fuel. This new power for the driving of the world's machinery will be derived from the energy which operates the universe, the cosmic energy."
With over 200 patents to his name, Tesla was well on his way to transmitting electric power without wires when he ran into trouble with J.P. Morgan and the financial interest of 1901. His ambitious Wardenclyffe project to magnify and transmit power to ships at sea and eventually to provide free electricity for the whole world was scuttled by Morgan, leaving Tesla penniless and disillusioned. The wealthy industrialist of the time knew that their vast plans to wire the world with copper from the mines they owned would be upset if they could no longer control the supply and means of delivery. Tesla's beliefs about developing technology in harmony with nature conflicted with the prevailing American attitude at the time that mankind was put on Earth to subdue and dominate nature. Little by little, Tesla was denounced as a crackpot and deleted from the historical record. At the time of his death in 1943, Tesla's truckloads of scientific papers were seized by U.S. government agencies. Who knows what ideas and remarkable devices our world could have inherited if only his genius was recognized.
When J.P. Morgan prohibited Tesla from broadcasting electric power overseas with Wardenclyffe Tower, he said, "I can't put a meter on it, therefore I won't finance it." That literally changed the course of history, and for the past almost 100 years, we've been suffering under that profit motive.
Of course, one could say that mankind was hardly ready to handle the awesome forces Tesla had glimpsed. The 20th century would bring world wars and technological innovations far more horrific than had ever been witnessed by Western civilization. Even before Tesla, the groundwork that would lead to free energy had been pioneered by great scientists like Michael Faraday and James Clerk Maxwell. In 1831, Faraday modeled his rotating magnet and disk generator after the Earth, whose rotation around a molten metal core keeps the planet spinning in a self-sustaining magnetic field. His work later resulted in the development of the dynamo. Also called a homopolar or unipolar generator, the Faraday generator provides the basis for much of what is being done today in the electromagnetic approach to free energy, such as with Bruce De Palma's In Machine and Paramahamsa Tiwari's Space Power Generator. Repeated experiments have detected anomalous electrical outputs greater than that used to rotate the disk. The friction and voltage limitations have hampered efficiency and therefore widespread acceptance. James Clerk Maxwell, best known for his Maxwell's equations, is reputed to have set things straight with his theories of electrical properties in a way that eliminates zero-point energy. But Maxwell's more advanced work allowed for the existence of an ether, a substance finer than air, which since the time of Plato had been considered a scientific fact.
Well, the prevailing belief of the time was that the vacuum was a thin material fluid, the so-called material ether, which we know today is false. The ether is there, but it's not the observable material fluid. Faraday had re-established this notion of lines of force, but he thought the electromagnetic field or the electromagnetic disturbances in the ether, so to speak, was really twanging strings. The strings were under tension, and when you had a disturbance, what you really did was pluck the strings. Now, Maxwell states very clearly that he set about to actually capture exactly what Faraday was doing in his lines of force in the theory, and that's what he did. Maxwell's actual theory is 20 equations and 20 unknowns in quaternions, which is a higher topology algebra. You can do things in that you can't dream of in doing in tensors, and you certainly can't do in vectors, and you certainly can't do with the theory that started our universities. All that remains to be rediscovered and uncovered.
The now famous Michelson-Morley experiment at the turn of the century failed to detect a stationary ether, so classical physics presumed once and for all that it did not exist. The case was closed until quantum mechanics reopened the discussion, allowing for a new interpretation of how matter interacts with a zero-point field.
Most of our scientific community actually believes that empty space, the nature of space itself, is completely empty, devoid of anything. And historically, it's very interesting because in the 1800s and even earlier, they believed there was an ether, an all-pervading substance filling up space. And in 1905, when relativity theory became very popular, they said, well, we don't need this ether. It's empty space is empty. Then 20 years later, in 1925, when quantum mechanics comes into play, all of a sudden, a new energy appears in equations of quantum mechanics. And it has to be there to make the equations work, and it has to do with fluctuation of electromagnetic field energy at a very high frequency that interacts with everything. And they called this the zero-point energy, and it turns out that all the elementary particles interact with this energy, and it becomes a potential energy source. That's what we're discovering today.
Well, free energy is basically, and another word for it is zero-point energy. It's energy that is contained within the vacuum of space and which is virtually undetectable by any traditional means. In fact, the energy is homogeneous and isotropic, the same everywhere, the same in all directions. And because of that, it's trying to extract it or measure it is sort of like the problem of trying to weigh a beaker of water underneath the surface of the ocean. What do you measure with respect to what? And that's been the physicist's dilemma, and we've gone down one very large cul-de-sac this century. The cul-de-sac meaning that there is no such thing as consciousness. There is no such thing as this zero-point field or this place from which the energy can come. And the answer now appears to be yes, because theoretical physics and a number of experiments in quantum mechanics show very clearly the existence of this all-pervasive electromagnetic field called the zero-point field.
In fact, although skeptics often point to Einstein's theory of relativity, it was Einstein who in 1920 said,
"There are weighty arguments to be adduced in favor of the ether hypothesis. To deny the ether is ultimately to assume that empty space has no physical qualities whatsoever. The fundamental facts of mechanics do not harmonize with this view. According to the general theory of relativity, space is endowed with physical qualities. In this sense, therefore, there exists an ether. According to the general theory of relativity, space without ether is unthinkable."
The term vacuum has been used in several totally different senses. Some engineers use it to mean you just pump out all the air, and that's called a vacuum, and that's vacuum technology. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about empty space-time. We know today, for example, the Lamb shift in quantum mechanics showed that this exchange of energy between the vacuum and the charged particles is in fact real and generates real effects. And you can measure it, and he was given the Nobel Prize, Lamb was, for doing that kind of measurement and showing it in the physics literature. So we know it's real. Experimentally it's detected. The Casimir shift, for example, shows clearly that it's there, and it does generate energetic effects in your actual materials. It turns out that in the modern view, modern quantum mechanical view, if you apply that knowledge that's been gained there, what you find is that the vacuum is fiercely active. It's a fierce energy flux and going all directions at all times. The energy density of that, as estimated by various physicists, is extremely high. For example, in 1 cubic centimeter, if you could take the raw energy in that cubic centimeter and condense it into mass divided by c squared, you would have more observable mass result from that than our largest telescope can see in the observable universe and all the stars and planets today. And so the energy that's there is extremely dense and extremely fierce. This drives everything that we call physical reality from the quantum level right on up to the observed level and the observed world that we live in. Everything is energetically driven by the vacuum.
The Sea of Energy in Which the Earth Floats was a revolutionary book written by T. Henry Morey, an electrical engineer and Tesla enthusiast, who in the early 20s began working on a device he claimed intercepted radiant energy from outer space. His solid-state detector, the Morey Valve, was designed with a complex series of semiconductors, high-voltage capacitors, and transformers hooked up to an antenna and a ground wire. By stimulating the existing oscillations of space energy, his radiant energy device ran for days, putting out 50 kilowatts of electricity. His public demonstrations attracted newspaper coverage and scientists from Bell Laboratories and the Department of Agriculture's Rural Electrification Administration. Although no one could find evidence of fraud, neither could anyone explain how the radiant energy device worked. During the 30s, he developed semiconductors and transistors that were far ahead of their time. Unfortunately, as all too many inventors have suffered, when he refused to sell out to powerful interests, Morey and his family were threatened, shot at, and the laboratory ransacked. Ignored by the U.S. Patent Office, Morey quietly stopped public disclosure of the device after it was destroyed by his assistant, Felix French, a communist sympathizer who was frustrated, Morey declined his repeated offers to take that technology to Russia. Today, Morey's sons, John and Richard, continue to pursue their father's dream. In Europe, Victor Schauberger's vortex experiments during the 1930s resulted in an advanced understanding of how the spiraling motions inherent in all natural systems reverse the effects of entropy. By studying the properties of inwardly spiraling water, he created an implosion generator that concentrated electrical charge.
Victor Schauberger is one of my heroes who talked about a possible science based on the inward motion rather than the let's explode everything, we'll break it up and study the atom by breaking it up into little pieces. Let's study the atom by looking at how it wants to move naturally in a spiraling motion. And same with everywhere you look in nature.
Schauberger's ideas became widely known before World War II when he was coerced to work for the Nazis on exotic discs that resembled flying saucers, as well as his energy generator. In 1958, he traveled to the United States, where he was told he could manufacture his devices. But he was duped into signing over all of his rights, and none of his inventions were ever developed. Returning to Austria, he died a bitter, broken man. Visionary philosopher, artist, and scientist Walter Russell's contributions to the understanding of energy are significant, even though ignored by mainstream academia. Russell's revised periodical table of the elements, based on a spiral, predicted many unknown elements and isotopes like plutonium and deuterium. His cosmological theories about the mystical nature of reality challenged physicists to think in terms of energy, light, and matter as one substance.
There's electricity in the air. It's a common expression and one that's true. Take a comb, run it through your hair on a dry day, and you can get a static shock. Sure, it's electricity, all right, but could it also be tapped to produce sufficient energy we could all use?
Benjamin Franklin is credited as being the inventor of the electrostatic motor back in the 1700s, but its power output was modest. The Wimhurst electrostatic generator is a high-voltage mechanism developed in the 1800s, which can be hand or self-starting and will produce dramatic sparking while charging Leyden jars. Today, it's used in teaching about electricity, but its practical applications are considered inconsequential. A high-tech variation of the Wimhurst device is the Testatica, or Swiss ML converter. Developed by Paul Baumann of the Maternita community in Switzerland during the 70s, this free energy device is a marvel that has been in operation for more than 20 years, supplying electricity to the small, self-sufficient Christian community. Many technical experts have come away stumped by its excess output. However, because the community feels that the majority of mankind is not ready to be responsible for such unlimited energy, they're keeping the technology under wraps until such time the world is spiritually prepared. Other researchers, like Dr. Oleg Jefimenko, continue to pursue real-world applications for harnessing the electrostatic motor.
His accomplishment, I view the best, is that he used a specific type of electret, which is a waxy substance which holds charge, and it's like a, in many ways, a magnet, electrical analog of a magnet. And he's achieved a 0.1 horsepower motor, which is a small device. So, and this runs continually on atmospheric electricity.
Like the homopolar generator, the electrostatic motor is based on the dynamics of our Earth environment. As with wind and solar power, they offer real, sustainable alternatives that, with only modest gains in efficiency, could contribute to the replacement of our current dependence on fossil fuels. Are we clever enough to learn from the clues our planet is providing? Upon the foundation of innovative thinkers and inventors like Tesla and Morley, the modern age of free energy research began. In the 1950s, as waves of flying saucer sightings occurred throughout the United States, and while an infant space program was trying to catch up with the Russians' launch of Sputnik, a man named T. Townsend Brown was busy on experiments that defied conventional understanding about electricity, gravitation, and propulsion. Along with doctors Paul Byfield and Agnew Bonson, Brown took high voltage to the next extreme. In this rare home movie, the earliest experiments in electrogravitics are recorded. By using high voltages over 20,000 and up to 200,000 volts, Brown discovered that highly charged capacitors would exhibit a noticeable thrust in one direction. Although awarded a patent for his electrokinetic generator, no one has ever reproduced his experiment until recently. Larry Davenport, shown here demonstrating his replication of Brown's electrokinetic apparatus, explains.
But when I first began to read Brown's stuff, I didn't quite understand the difference between the ion wind devices, which there's a lot of them out there, and some of them are very efficient as far as producing ion wind, and his particular apparatus. I finally decided to do Brown's work in 1994. I looked at his device. I'd tried several different things and they hadn't worked. And I thought, well, Brown is supposed to be the pioneer of this. Or so the people that make the claims and get the patents, they always refer to his name. So I thought, I'll go back and I'll try to do this. Getting it balanced was real important.
His method of propulsion specifically was using the charge separation, high voltage charge separation on a vehicle. He found that circular craft were better for that application than winged craft. However, recently we found through Dr. Paula Violette's research that the B-2 bomber actually seems to qualify as an electromagnetic craft. The military has admitted that it electrically charges the forward leading edge of the wings. There's also a very high dielectric being used. Depleted uranium is used on the forward edge of the wings. And whether or not there are other applications for that technology and that design, we're recognizing that because the exhaust gas is also negatively ionized, that all of a sudden we have the high voltage charge separation that's necessary to provide an extra propulsive force.
So, where are all these researchers? What happened to them? What happened to all the people? Like this guy right here.
Utah inventor Paul Panto has developed what he calls the GEET fuel processor, a plasma generator similar to a super carburetor that actually appears to run on 80% water and is entirely non-polluting.
This device replaces the carburetor and exhaust and combines them as one unit, whereas this end of it acts as a miniature refinery, allowing the engine to run on everything from battery acid and water mixed to crude oil right out of the ground. This is Angola crude, 39.5 gravity. The exhaust coming down goes around and comes out here at the far end. The center chamber draws some of the heat from the exhaust, plus this tube takes some of the exhaust gases, takes them up into the chamber, and bubbles them down to the bottom. The bubbles that come through the fuel are brought up to the top of the chamber, picked up through a tube, and fed up the center of the exhaust pipe. While they're being fed up the exhaust pipe, they are in a vacuum, and there's a heat exchange which occurs. This process has been argued a few times to be either a plasma field, an electro field. We do know that it does have a slight radiation, which is not alpha, beta, or gamma. We do have x-rays to show that whatever is coming from the unit does get affected different from stainless steel than the regular steel. Yep. When the temperature of the exhaust is the same as the air temperature going in from the air portion of the air, normally 1-3% more oxygen coming out of a tailpipe than there is in the air we're breathing. No carbon at all.
Carbon vanishes.
I wouldn't say vanishes, I would say transmuted into some other substance, a lighter element, because we have an abundance of lighter elements here that are not explained from down here. But during the heat process, there are molecular changes. After running this engine from 1983 until now, and many times we had it running eight and a half hours a day, we have never had to change spark plug, change the oil, or clean it. We have taken the head off three times to inspect the inside of it, and it's been spotless.
So that particular one there, according to that particular video, was jailed, and you don't hear anything more about that type of technology. But what that technology had the capability of doing was to quite literally run an internal combustion engine and do it cleanly on things that weren't necessarily by standards actual fuel. Now, if you paid attention to science class, basic science says that hydrogen and oxygen is what makes up the water molecule, and if you knew how to separate those on demand, you could quite literally get an internal combustion engine that wouldn't produce any kind of carbon emissions. So let's move along here.
Right now we have the entrenched energy monopolies and cartels. You know, we have OPEC and we have the seven sister oil companies that control all the oil and energy. But what people have to understand is that the people who run the energy business in this world, which is the biggest business on the planet, turning over $4 to $5 trillion a year, it's bigger than guns and drugs, it's bigger than defense, they control the newspapers, they control the governments. But these companies are so big that they regulate the government, which regulates them.
It's not free. Nothing is free. But cheap and efficient energy exchange is the Bible concept.
Now, I say that everything in this universe is free energy. It's been dreamed of for hundreds of years that somewhere, someplace, as Tesla said, man will hook his machinery to the very wheel work which drives the universe itself.
The history of science is the history of the suppression of great inventions. A few classic stories. Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla is regarded as the founding father of free energy. His astounding developments in the generation of alternating electrical current are still being used today. His most notorious project involved the transmission of wireless electricity into the atmosphere, which allowed for unlimited power to be freely accessed by everyone. When his financial backer, J.P. Morgan, realized that this power system could not be metered, all funding was immediately withdrawn. Tesla's electrical broadcast towers were dismantled, and through Morgan's many close connections with the media and government, Tesla's career was destroyed. In 1977, Bruce De Palma unveiled the first prototype of the N machine, an electrical generator which uses rotating magnets to generate up to five times more power than it takes to drive it.
I know about the fact that the Japanese government and the Indian government have ongoing projects to produce N machines for domestic power. My partner is Paramahamsa Tiwari, who is the director of the Nuclear Power Corporation of India, which operates all the nuclear plants in India.
In late 70s, I learned from Bruce De Palma that he had carried out certain crucial experiments by rotating electromagnets.
Tiwari tested a prototype based on De Palma's N machine under laboratory conditions. The results were deemed too impressive, causing disbelief and suspicion among conservative government officials and the power consortiums that backed the project. Tiwari was forced to abandon the project completely.
In
major breakthrough that will no doubt make motorists happy. And as Ralph Robinson explained, the Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
U.S. inventor Stan Myers released his water-powered car engine in 1988.
The Pentagon crew undertook a kernel in last week to look at Myers' invention. There's talk of possibly using it in the Star Wars defense program and to run army things.
Myers found it virtually impossible to secure financial backing after certain Pentagon officials paid him a visit. A number of similar inventions were developed and tested all around the world.
My best friend was killed over this man. There's a chap here, about 10 minutes away from here, driving. He has been running this car on water since 1986, with the government's permission, provided that he keeps his mouth shut. And with regular intervals, using his own words, they keep warning him to keep his mouth shut. One of our colleagues who have been running car on the water for the 10-year period now, he reckons that it's 26 times more powerful than petrol.
A better mousetrap, you know, the world may be the path to your door. If you invent a free energy machine, there'll be a path to be to your door, but you don't want those people there.
One of the pivotal people that I encountered early in my career was Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut.
Edgar J. Mitchell, an Apollo mission astronaut, founded Vinderetics Institute in Southern California. The Institute's charter was supposedly to develop alternative energy systems by attracting inventors from all over the country. Mitchell became extremely interested in De Palma's end machine. He made De Palma a paltry offer to buy out the invention, which De Palma naturally refused.
He said to me that if I ever tried anything on my own in California, I would get my head blown off. So I was scared to death. The CIA operates through various very innocent looking fronts to find out what people are thinking and what they're inventing. Now, what's more innocent than to deny an institute founded on transcendental principles to help new age inventors bring free energy into the world?
And that situation still exists in the United States today, where the person that really understands what's going on just can't get their idea out because the alternative science and medical fields have been co-opted by the intelligence services.
And he converted this little engine to run on water. This is many, many years ago. And he used it for several years. And somehow the news got out, and one day he got visitors, and he was told to dump the engine or else. 3 weeks later, the man was dead. The coroner's finding was that he fell off the back of a train. He was drunk. Now it happened that he didn't drink.
Even Dr. Townsend T. Brown, the electrogravitic research scientist, has on his 60-millimeter film of his lab test, which we've got here, he has guys with the black suits and black hats come into the test. You can see where the legends come from. I mean, these guys come in and they look like, you know, Bad Bart, the black man. I mean, it's just, it's classic. And these things do happen.
There is no progressive science in a world where every scientific idea is evaluated for its military potential.
Energy, control of energy equals power, the new world order that is emerging. If you control the energy, the way we get around, the way we get electricity, the way we have our TVs and video cameras and stuff, if you do the control of the energy, then you've got control of the people.
So where are the Save the Planet hypocrites? Where are all the so-called green energy advocates out there? The Green New Deal and such? That's a good question, right? Where are they at? You know, why aren't they out here protecting alternative energy researchers? Instead, what you get is, if you get on YouTube, which is by far the very worst platform to share information, because of not only suppression, but the ridiculousness. If you type in free energy, you'll find one bogus device after another. This is a trend that is basically allowed, possibly encouraged by YouTube and the system, because it blurs the line of truth. it makes it so that if you do have a free energy device, you can't seem to get no attention other than negative attention, and the so-called educated college geeks that come around and start trying to argue the laws of physics, which they don't even understand. And then there was a video that I had checked out here earlier where a guy was talking about how to prove your free energy device using measurements and stuff and math and Ohm's law. But in the process of all that, if you get that kind of attention on you to where you are getting out more than you're putting in, or anything that proves that that device is real, well, then you end up getting the attention that you don't want, which is what happened to all these other alternative energy researchers. You go out there and try to look up a list of alternative energy researchers that died mysteriously, and you're going to have a hard time finding it. But they're out there. There's, John Bedini and a whole bunch of other names out there on top of Stan Myers that, were on to some really impressive technologies. And for some reason, because they decided they weren't going to go sell out, then some reason they always seem to, either have a heart attack or, come up missing or commit suicide and all this kind of stuff. And this isn't just an alternative. This is all alternative energy. This is also an alternative medicine. There's been a list of holistic doctors that have been basically, whacked, done in, rubbed out, whatever you want to call it. And, all these discoveries that they were trying to bring to the forefront, basically got shoved to the back again, and it's in the conspiracy world. So when you're on YouTube and you're trying to look up free energy, all you find is these channels out there which are like ad farms that people go to watch these, and they put these ridiculous devices together. They get thousands of views, if not more, and they're getting paid to do it at the same exact time. And, you get people out there to say, well, there's no such thing as free energy. Well, then you obviously haven't been paying attention to nature, and you obviously haven't been paying attention in science class, because, it's everything out there is energy. The wind blowing, the heat underneath the ground, the heat from the sun, the hydroelectrics, the wind power. You could go on and on and on. There's so many different ways that electricity is actually produced. And, electricity isn't the only alternative energy source out there. But we use electricity to run what we're running right now, these computers and our lights and all that kind of stuff. But every time you get anywhere close to something that could at least reduce the so-called carbon footprint, then you get these Greenpeace activists that come rolling out and say stupid things like, well, the windmills are going to chop up the birds. Well, if a bird is stupid enough to fly into a windmill, which I ain't never seen happen, but if it's stupid enough to fly into a windmill, then that's a bird that probably ain't going to make it through evolution, if that's makes any sense. All I'm saying is if you watch any bird, they're always looking where they're flying. They're not smashing into stuff unless they're being radiated by some sort of weird beam that somebody's testing out that knocks off their navigation system or disorients them. But these supposed green energy people out there that saved the planet, they ain't doing nothing but getting alternative energy researchers killed. That's it. And the governments out there, the hypocrisy of the governments, we got to become energy independent. That's so ridiculous, it ain't even funny. And if there was a crisis such as global warming / climate change or climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the map don't add up, then you would think that these alternative energy researchers would be embraced instead of demonized and mocked and ridiculed. And if these folks that are supposedly there to save the planet really care about green, alternative, sustainable energies, then they would be over there protecting guys like Stan Myers and John Bedini and anyone who's doing alternative energy research that ain't out there trying to scam people. You got people out there all day long on YouTube just making stupid, ridiculous, non-scientifical, whatever, if that's even a word, non-scientific devices that don't even make any doggone sense, trying to convince people that they have free energy when they don't. Which makes guys like myself look bad, because I'm talking about it. Over unity, zero point, all these different terminologies, perpetual motion, everything used to suppress and discourage gets the people that are really good researchers to the edge of deciding just to walk away and leave it all alone. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's a planned suppression that even the environmentalists are a party to. Even the environmentalists. Where are the environmentalists? Seriously, I throw the gauntlet down many a times and invited them to the table. You so-called environmentalists out there that want to talk about fish die-offs and how our planet is in danger and we're all going to die in 12 years. Where are you at? That's the question. Where are you at? I'll tell you where you're at. You're out there working for the man. You're out there working for the government. You're out there working for the oil companies. Whether you're getting a paycheck for them or not, you're out there working for them. And all you college-educated geeks out there that think you know what the heck science is all about and that you think you know physics and you can sit around and quote the laws of thermodynamics and all that kind of stuff, you may be pretty smart. You might even be pretty talented. But in the long term, you're pretty stupid because you're the ones that work for the man. You're the ones that work for the power company. Your indoctrination is set in so well that you are one of the mice in the matrix that basically makes sure to hold everyone else back so that nobody can get out of it. That's what you do. And all these people that run around trolling anybody that says free energy and you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You sit there and try to claim that you care about the planet, but every single time your hypocrisy kicks in, you're riding around in a fossil fuel car or a fossil fuel bus or a fossil fuel airplane. You're watching TV. You're on the same computers and the same networks that are running off of the coal, running off of diesel or whatever. So your hypocrisy and lack of support to alternative energy is what is so-called killing the planet that you're sitting there talking about. We need to save. People out there talking about nuclear power being such a devastating, oh, we're going to die because of nuclear power. How many of them ever went out to watch Galen Windsor's nuclear scare scam? And how many of them that went out there to watch Galen Windsor's nuclear scare scam come out and use their so-called indoctrination schooling to sit there and talk about why it's not possible? Oh no, we have to have an emergency. We have to have a doom. We have to have some sort of tragedy. Look, those folks out there in Chernobyl and all the Three Mile Island and doggone Fukushima, they're still alive. Why ain't they dead? So you're gonna sit there and tell everybody about nuclear power being so bad, but you're going to try to suppress those who are out there trying to do real, honest research into alternative energy. No, we can't do that. All right? Well, that's the whole thing. It's the green peace. It's the doggone save the planet folks, and even the save the tree folks. You're standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees. Why aren't you out there planting a tree? You know, it's all ridiculous. It's a ludicrous amount of hypocrisy that goes in to proving to the world why it is we can't do what we know we can do, because the science and the research backs it up. You fell prey to the same system that you supposedly despise, and you work for that system. Your government, a political, a congressman or a senator, and you're out there preaching the Green New Deal, or you're out there preaching climate change and we got to save the planet, and you're not backing alternative energy researchers, you're a hypocrite. That's as simple as that. You didn't pay attention in science class, and your ridiculousness that you sit around and talk about carbon taxes and all this, what's that money going to do? You could tax the world. You could tax the world into oblivion. What's it going to do? I'll tell you what it's going to do. It ain't going to do nothing. Ain't none of your tax money going to do nothing, because all of the tax money ends up in organizations like the United Nations, who gets like $50 million or $50 billion a year from the U.S. government, when that $50 million or $50 billion a year in the right hands could put out actual working prototypes. And if those people that were doing that research and putting out actual working prototypes were protected by the same people that are out there protesting to save the birds from a windmill, then you would get your clean, renewable alternative energy. This ridiculousness has got to stop. There's researcher after researcher after researcher falling by the wayside. Some of them just giving up. Some of them, they're mocked and ridiculed so badly that they just give up. They don't want to do any more research. I've actually put my research on hold. I haven't done a YouTube video for quite some time because I'm not motivated to do so. Because, for one, I got a friend who I know that I helped get his generator working, and I haven't heard from him since. Now, did he just take the information and run, or has something devious happened to it? I don't know yet. But why would I want to put my life on the line to give everybody the information that I'm trying to share with the world for free? Why would I want to put my life on the line for people who don't appreciate it? For people who don't support it? So for people, look at what's going on here on this doggone radio show. ShazizRadio.com. Google's got me listed as not secure. Alright? Because I won't pay them for their little tag that says that I'm a secure website. If you don't pay for things, then you don't get advertised. And if people are basically looking at free energy as a scam, because the system has told them that free energy is a scam, that you can't get something for nothing, well, then everything that I put out there, including, you know, all the good videos, are basically muddied up by all the bogus videos that are put out there. So YouTube's by far the very worst way to get any information out there. So I ain't made no videos. Why should I? Why should I make a video? Why should I show the math when I know that math is going to get me killed? Literally. It's going to get me killed. The moment I prove what I'm saying, it's going to get me killed. How many of you out there really want me dead? You know, besides the alphabet soup agencies. See, I know the limitations of what can be gone for free energy. Alright? I know that energy is free. Without a doubt. And I could prove it. But if I ain't got no support, I can't even get people in the chat rooms. I can't even get people listening in on this radio show anymore. Because I'm not secure. Alright? And you tell me I should put everything that I've worked for my entire life on the line? For what? For who? For the people? Tesla tried it. Look what happened. John Bedini tried it. Look what happened. John Searle tried it. Look what happened. Paul Pantone tried it. Look what happened. Stan Myers tried it. Look what happened. Every single time that somebody gets there, instead of the support of the Greenpeace and the Save the Planet people and the congressmen and the senators and the government, all the people who preach Save the Planet, all the people who preach getting energy independent and getting off of fossil fuels, all the Ocasio-Cortezes out there talking about the Green New Deal, where are they at? Seriously, why aren't they in these chat rooms listening in? We put out information after information. We put out example after example after example after example. We have proven the science over and over and over and over again ad nauseum. And what do we get? We get the hypocrisy of people riding around in corporate jets, people riding around in corporate limousines, people living in mansions with the huge carbon footprints. And we get the debunkers, we get the our fellow brothers and sisters coming around to troll us and tell us how stupid we are because our words don't match what the book says. That's the hypocrisy. And that's why mad science exists. How many of you people out there want me dead? Seriously. How many of you people out there actually want me just to say the heck with it and go away? There are people who believe in free energy. There are people who believe in making our world a better place. I got four people in that chat room right there. Four people in that chat room. They're all the same four people. I can't bring nobody here because it's not secure. The biggest portion of my listenership would be the ones that are running around on mobile devices. But even then, how long can you retain people who never see an actual working device? So what do? Do I take every bit of information that I got and do like WikiLeaks and just do a document dump out there on the internet and hope for the best? That somebody's going to pick it up and run with it? They're not. The moment I try to put that information out there to you, that's what the moment that all heck's going to break loose. Mostly for me. Because they do suppress. They suppress on YouTube, they suppress on Google, they suppress on any search engine out there, they suppress. And the only way to get past that suppression is a grassroots campaign where you, the person listening in that hear this information, go out and share this information with somebody. That's it. I spent a lot of time, a ridiculous amount of time, a ludicrous amount of time and money to try to bring to the world something that I know is truth. And yet, this is what I've got. I'm working on failing computers. I'm not asking people for money. I'm not giving anyone the opportunity to say that I'm a scam artist. I'm not trying to sell any device. I'm just trying to put information on the table that if somebody uses critical thinking, they can take that information and they can make things work. And there was one man who did exactly that, and I haven't heard from him since. And I know that his generator did exactly what I said it was going to do. Free energy is real. We're surrounded in it. But all the terminology that comes back to haunt you is all the terminology put into place to muddy up the waters. The so-called laws of thermodynamics, the so-called laws of physics. Everything that is supposedly a good thing for our planet is a bad thing to those who wish to research it. those who wish to share it, those who wish to actually change our planet like Tesla tried to do to give the world free energy. The demons like freaking J.P. Morgan that pulled the power away from the people because he couldn't make no money. It's all about money. The whole entire thing is all about money. The oil industry is planned planned, what the heck's the word I'm looking for? Planned opposition. They're their own opposition. To put the conspiracies out there so that you think, oh, well, it's a big bad oil company. It is a big bad oil company. They're on both sides of the fence. They're the ones out there holding up the wooden stick and the paper sign. They're the ones out there for Greenpeace. They're the ones out there for Save the Planet. Get everybody all scared about global warming and climate change. Make a lot of extra money on carbon taxes when the hypocrisy of guys like Al Gore, who lives in a huge mansion with a massive doggone carbon footprint, are making millions of dollars. And all you got to do is stir up the pot. All you got to do to debunk the truth is to put a seed of doubt in somebody's mind that it's not possible. Well, if it ain't possible, then science is wrong. If it ain't possible, then science is a lie. Because in their own laws of physics, they say energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? Put the information out there over and over and over again. Throw it out there everywhere. I'm telling the whole world. I wear a shirt that says about free energy on it. And I talk to people all the time about hydrogen engines, water engines. I talk to people about plasma technology. I talk to them about all these different alternative energy researches. And I can't get people into these chat rooms. I can't get people to this website. Don't get me wrong. People do come to this website. And there are a lot of people that listen in to this show. But when they get on a PC and they try to come to this website, their browser's going to tell them that I'm not secure. There's workarounds, I guess. But I'm not one of those people who, can just easily jump in there and, fix a network, get it to where it complies with Google censorship. And even if I do get the secured certificate set up, it blocks out the chat rooms. It costs money to buy a better chat room. ChatTango's a free chat code. And so ChatTangle, because it's only an HTTP, is basically a security risk according to Google, even though I've been using ChatTangle for years and nobody has ever had any problem with it. So yeah, it's suppressed because the people who own the newspapers are the same people who own the news media, the TV stations, are the same people who own the oil industry, are the same people who own the corporations, the companies, the same people, the money men of the world, who keep screwing the people over. I mean, just listen to this one right here. Let's try this again. Oh, there it is.
By no accident, Tesla's grand project was to be financed by the devil himself, J.P. Morgan.
You're a strange man indeed, Tesla. After the papers are signed, you may draw upon the house of Morgan, but it's important that I remain a silent partner. You do understand what that means, don't you, Mr. Tesla?
But Nikola had a secret. The system could also electrify the world. Wardenclyffe would provide limitless, free energy everywhere for everybody. When J.P. Morgan found out about this leap of technology, he wouldn't tolerate it. He knew Tesla could deliver, and the banker overlord couldn't put a meter on it.
A man always has two reasons for doing anything. A good reason, and the real reason.
Mid-construction, Morgan would cancel the contract and blackball Tesla, thus excluding him from any other investor. Mr. Morgan, are you going to leave me in a hole? I've made 1,000 powerful enemies on your account. In 100 years from now, this country would give me much for the first honor of transmitting power without wires.
Mordenkliff faltered, and Marconi sent his transatlantic signal. Tesla would suffer his second nervous breakdown, and never again would he regain his momentum as before. But despite his cruel fate, Nikola stayed the course. Decade after decade would pass, and he would bring forth new fantastic inventions in transportation, air flight, and even warfare. His death beam, as he intended, would bring an end to all warfare. An inventor to the end, all he ever wanted was to uplift the condition of humanity. But now in his hotel room, time was drawing short. He'd finger newspaper clippings and recall some of the smaller moments of his life. His table for one, walking the streets of New York, haunting Grand Central Station, or feeding his many pigeons. No one could begin to imagine what great secrets this mad scientist kept locked inside his head. No one, except J. Edgar Hoover and his G-men. They waited patiently for the great man to pass, and were ready to take everything that Nikola left behind. The story is about a man whose powerful ideas live on, as much of his work is still classified and used in the most esoteric projects imaginable today. Nikola Tesla single-handedly changed the world for the benefit of mankind, yet has been rewarded with obscurity. It's time to bring his story out of the shadows and into the light. With his last breath, Nikola gently smiled.
Let the future tell the truth and evaluate each one according to his work and accomplishments. The present is theirs. The future, for which I have really worked, is mine.
Would they only have listened?
Our news here at 6 o'clock, an age-old dream becoming a reality. A local inventor has discovered a way, hear this, to use water to run your car.
It's a major breakthrough that will no doubt make motorists happy. And as Ralph Robinson explains, the Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
Water has always been considered a precious commodity, but Stan Meyer's invention may make it even more valuable. He has developed what's called a water fuel cell. It has taken the place of his old gas tank. The water fuel cell breaks down water molecules into oxygen and hydrogen. The hydrogen is used to run his dune buggy.
I don't care if you use rainwater, well water, city water, ocean water. If you don't have any fresh water, go ahead and use snow. If you don't have any snow available to you, then use salt water because there's no adverse effect to the fuel cell.
Meyer started working on this project 4 years ago. He's not a scientist. He isn't even a chemist. In fact, he never graduated from college. Myers was determined, he says, to design something to protect this country from oil embargoes.
And we have calculated that if we take the dune buggy from Los Angeles to New York, we would roughly use 22 gallons of water.
The Pentagon flew a Lieutenant Colonel in last week to look at Myers' invention. There's talk of possibly using it in the Star Wars defense program and to run army tanks. Myers is currently perfecting a water fuel cell for cars. It will cost about $1,500. He says it won't need any maintenance and you won't have to replace it. It'll be at least 2 years before the fuel system goes into mass production. A day that happens will be one the fuel industry hates, but it'll put a smile on the face of those who...
Did you hear that? 2 years. It'd be 2 years before that fuel cell went into mass production. We're here in the year 2019. You do the math. Do the math.
Had to say at one time or another, fill her up. How many problems?
As you can see, many patents have already been received,
And many more are forthcoming.
A car that runs on water instead of gasoline. Can it be true? Well, inventor Stanley Meyer made an announcement today in Colorado Springs. He says he's come up with a device that will hook up to any engine and allow it to run on good old H2O. News 13's Kurt Goff tonight on the possible impact of the water fuel cell.
Stanley Meyer says the answer to dependence on foreign oil lies all around us. In seawater, tap water, and rainwater. Any kind of H2O, he says, can power just about every type of engine. How? With the water fuel cell. It fits in the palm of his hand, but it could revolutionize the...
A water fuel cell that fits in the palm of his hand. It's a customized injector that uses a high-frequency radio wave to instantaneously separate and ignite water on demand. And it will retrofit to any existing internal combustion engine that uses gasoline. It could be something slightly different for diesel engines because of compression ignition, the way that diesel engines are actually designed. But nonetheless, it is based on real science, it is based on real physics, and it's something that in the 70s that this man had that nobody in this world that drives around in a gasoline engine but a very tiny few even exist. The technology was hidden, it was suppressed. And this technology still actually exists today. But it's not on the market. They said it'd be next 2 years, right? And that was in the 70s, and we're in 2019 now? Really?
World. You're talking about a pollution-free, totally new source of energy, the voltage disassociation of water.
The fuel cell converts water into a gas, hydrogen, oxygen, which is released in the form of thermo-explosive energy.
So the water fuel injector simply replaces the spark plug. We hook it to a hydrogen computer system, which regulates and meters the flow going into the injector. It processes the water in such a way to release this thermo-explosive energy.
The man who invented an engine that can run on water says he's been offered $1 billion in cash by oil-producing countries to sell his patent. So far, he hasn't sold. Environmental specialist Jan Porter talked to the inventor, who thinks that the U.S. auto industry could produce cars that run on water now if they wanted to.
Our industrial base of the world is based on the utilization of
Stan Meyer has a car that runs on water, and that's drawing crowds at this year's Extraordinary Science Conference in Colorado Springs. Myers has developed what is called the water fuel cell injector. The injector breaks down the water molecule into hydrogen and oxygen, and the hydrogen is what powers the car.
Basically, all we do is replace the spark plug and replace it with the water fuel cell injector you see right here. We simply feed ordinary non-plus water, or processed water in here, and as the water goes into the injector, it hits a very high pulse voltage frequency, which instantly converts it into thermal explosive energy, and as a result, we can run this car down a road on water.
Meyer's invention was introduced in Britain earlier this month, and now the Brits have followed him here.
That we recently took a scientific delegation to witness Stan's work, to really evaluate it, and came back saying, this is one of the most important inventions of the century.
So where's it at?
For 15 years, Meyer has been fighting to get his inventions taken seriously.
Most inventors have to be a loner. You have to be somewhat thick-skinned and don't rely on other people to support you, because they will not. More times than not, an invention is really stolen from the inventors. Even in my prior development of high technology, I've had patents taken from me. I learned from the School of Hard Knocks to be very cautious.
Meyer has always stood out against the crowd. He has no formal qualifications as a scientist because he didn't wait to graduate from high school. Leaving early, he goes straight into research at the high-powered Battelle Institute in his native Ohio. Now he works full-time as a private inventor. He's built a device with potentially revolutionary implications. There is nothing startling about a machine that can extract the hydrogen from water. What is highly unusual is that it should do so with ordinary tap water. The conventional method is called electrolysis. Meyer has turned that process on its head. Unlike electrolysis, his device doesn't use up large amounts of electric current.
All right, this one right here that he's talking about, electrolysis, where you essentially you take a positive and a negative plate, you actually have to mix something like sodium or whatever into the water so that you make that water more conductive, which causes that thing to quite literally use more amperage in order to run it. And so with that said, with the more amperage, then you also have more heat. When that heat it destroys the cell. In the electrolysis process, it basically gets too hot and it takes more energy. That process is what the so-called genius out there that I asked to help build the water engine used to try to debunk what it was that I was saying that the electrolysis takes too much power. You can't get enough power out to make a difference, and that's the process. That's the only process he saw. He didn't even take the time to think about the multiple people who had used radio frequencies to do the same exact job that did not require all that amperage. So the electrolysis process is the very most inefficient way to separate the hydrogen and oxygen. Now, there are people who built better cells that can do it with less amount of power, but nonetheless, it's still inefficient because of the way that they're doing it. Now, there was a guy out there that was doing cancer research that found out accidentally that he could actually ignite water on demand, and he said in his video that he'd sell out to the first oil company out there. So the first oil company out there would actually get a patent on Stan Meyer's design without Stan Meyer's even having to sell the doggone thing. This is how this all gets suppressed. This is why that we're still in this realm of trying to prove free energy. That's why mad science exists.
What does it produce? An enormous amount of waste heat. For 20 years, there's been refining a method to fracture water. It produces vast amounts of hydrogen on demand. This is not his latest apparatus. He was unwilling to let us point a camera at that. This is the simple device he used to convince a reluctant patent office that his revolutionary concept actually works. Alloy rods, acting as electrodes, are housed in a perspex container that's filled with water. Normal mains voltage is fed in through a transformer, but critically, there is virtually no current consumed, less than half an amp. The result is dramatic. Hydrogen pours off with a flick of a switch. Meyer claims the key is his electronics, which pulses electricity rapidly across the rods at up to 20,000 cycles per second. In a way that's not readily apparent, this process transforms the equation. Whereas in conventional electrolysis, three times as much energy is consumed as is produced in the form of hydrogen fuel, in Meyer's apparatus, the reverse is true. It appears to produce several 100% more energy than it consumes.
And that's a fact, Jack. Look, most of you probably have a microwave oven in your house. And that microwave oven is an impressive piece of technology that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Stan Meyer's technology would function just like he said it would. And the reason I'm telling you that is because of all the debunkers out there, nobody has said anything about, how a microwave oven actually functions. You take 110 volts or 120 or 220 out of the wall socket, and depending on where it is that you live, determine the actual hertz range. Like here in the States, we use 60 hertz, and overseas they use 50 hertz. There's a difference in that as well. But nonetheless, if you take that energy and you try to run that fuel cell direct, it's not going to do the same job. It's going to produce a lot of waste heat because there's too much current, and it's not going to work like that. But you take a microwave oven, and the voltage coming out of your wall outlet is run through a transformer that ramps the voltage up and ramps the frequency up to over 2,000 volts at who knows what frequency range. That 2,000 volts, there's a element, tungsten element, inside of what they call the magnetron. That magnetron gets hot because of the resistance to the current flow from the wall outlet and the actual 120 or 220 volts that's put to that thing. So basically, the magnetron itself is like the equivalence of a light bulb. Then that high voltage from the secondary, it goes in and it pulses and it knocks electrons loose from the hot tungsten. And those electrons get to spinning around in that vacuum, and they are guided by a magnet in the front and the magnet in the rear that guide that electron in a specific direction. As that electron's going around, it's producing a wave that by the time it's all said and done, when it comes out that antenna at the other end of the magnetron, it is a super fast short wave. Water is a dipole molecule, meaning that it has a positive field and a negative field, positive and negative. It's like a little mini magnet. It has a positive and a negative side on there. And so when that wave is going through that water molecule, it rocks that water molecule so rapidly that it produces friction, which in turn produces heat, and it cooks your food. Now, the only difference between the microwave technology and Stan Meyer's technology is the speed at which that water molecule is actually rocking back and forth. With a higher frequency, faster wave, that water molecule is basically being torn apart into its elements, hydrogen and oxygen. At that same time, while this is going on, the high voltage, high frequency is still coming in, and it ignites the hydrogen and oxygen on demand, which produces an implosion from the hydrogen and an explosion from the oxygen, which then in turn, that thermal energy that Stan Myers was talking about pushes the piston down, just like every other internal combustion engine. And so, with that said, the technology is proven technology just by the mere fact that your microwave oven does what it does. But once again, where are the environmentalists? Where are the save the planet people? Where are the save the trees people? Where are all the congressmen that promote things like the Green New Deal and climate change? Where are all the people out there who are so paranoid that the world's going to end in 12 years? Where are they at? Somebody tell me. I threw the gauntlet down. I invited them all here to the Mad Science Show. Let's talk about this thing. We put information after information after information down on the table. But it was never accepted. We got trolled. We got debunked. We got all this other craziness going on. We got the water muddied up on YouTube. We got the water muddied up on Wikipedia and all over the internet. People trying to say that there's no such thing as free energy, when obviously they haven't paid attention to nature. We got so much against us and very little for us when it comes to doing alternative energy research. So you tell me, why should I put my time and my effort into putting free energy out there for the world? Why should I take all of my research and put it down on the table for people who don't even support what they claim to support? Where are they at? Tell me. It's hypocrisy, is what it is. It's green energy hypocrisy. The world says we got to become sustainable. California is trying to get their whole entire state to be zero point by a certain period of time. They're forcing their people into green energy deals. And when somebody like myself says, well, heck, if you took some of this technology like Paul Pantone was doing, you could even take internal combustion engines and you could clean them things up to where you wouldn't even have to worry about pollution from them. So it ain't about whether there is or isn't free energy. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not paying attention. We have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to resolve the so-called energy crisis, yet we can't get nobody into a chat room to discuss it. Tell me why that is. Well, I can tell you why it is. Because it's not secure, says Google. You know, Google, the god, they control the world. They control the information. They don't mind spying on you, because if you come up with a good idea and you put it out there on the table and the math adds up, well, guess what? You're Stan Myers. You're John Bedini. You're John Searle. You're Tesla. That's right. We need to coin a new phrase, to be Tesla'd, because we're going to be Tesla'd. That's what's going to happen. They're going to mock and ridicule us. And they're going to turn around whenever we die, and they're going to come in and they're going to seize all of our research and they're going to shelve it, just like they've done so many times before. Now, I don't know what the answer is, folks. I don't know how to get past the wall that is in front of what I'm trying to share with the world. I want to put it on the table. I want to put it out there so that everybody and his brother knows it exists. And I've tested the water over and over and over and over again. My YouTube channel was set up for the specific purpose to test the water. To see what you can say and what you can't say. What people believe and what they don't believe. The social experiment that was YouTube gave me the answer that I did not want to hear. That people just do not care. They don't want to know. They don't want out of the matrix. They don't want out of the box. Their indoctrination is comfortable for them. And it makes them feel smart to be able to quote, like a mockingbird, everything that the mainstream has taught them. So they can go down the school book and they can use terminology that will make you look stupid and plant a seed of doubt into everyone who believes it's possible but are not quite sure because they've never seen an actual physical working device. Well, I know a man right now who has an actual physical working device because of information that I share. And I haven't seen or heard from that man for over 2 months now. So I ain't doing YouTube videos. I'm not doing YouTube live streams. I'm not doing Twitch live streams. I put everything on hold because I'm trying to determine whether or not it's worth risking my life for people who just don't care. The senators and congressmen out there that promote climate change, they don't care. They do not care. I've tried to contact every agency out there. Energy, environment, everything. No response. I've tried to contact senators and congressmen and presidents of the United States. They don't care. The oil industry out there and the banking industry and the drug industry and the military industrial complex are all one and the same. There ain't a bunch of conspiracies. There's one single conspiracy. one single conspiracy with arms like an octopus that reach into every aspect of your life. They spy on you. They lie to you. They propagandize you. They indoctrinate you. They want you to believe that they hold the power. And as long as they have the power, then you will never see what we keep trying to tell the world actually exists. So, I've got to find a creative way in order to release every bit of information that I can in a manner that's not going to get my life exterminated prematurely. Now, I've thought about it. I thought about just doing a WikiLeaks-style document dump and putting all of my information, all of my designs on as many platforms as possible, all at simultaneously, all at the same time, and then shutting down my internet and going away. But you know what? I know how this system works. You don't get nothing out unless they choose to allow it out. That's why we're having the problems that we're having, whether it be People for People Radio Network or Shaziz Radio Network or the affiliated networks. There are things going on behind the scenes that look hopeful, but the pace is so slow. And it's risky. So I know what I'm up against. I haven't heard from my friend. And I know his device worked. I witnessed it. I know it works. It did exactly what I said it was going to do. And I haven't heard from him since. And he had another piece of the puzzle. I sent him one of my neodymium magnet accelerator prototypes. He has one of those as well. And there was another piece of the puzzle to that one there that would even improve upon the system that he's already got, that make it even better. So while it did exactly what we said, it can be improved to maximum. I mean maximum efficiency. Incredible efficiency. I'm truly surprised at this point that I'm still having this conversation with you. Because I know that the people that I showed this stuff to that actually took it and ran with it, it worked exactly like I said it was going to. So, maybe I'm hitting a brick wall. Maybe there's a drain. Once I send this information out, this computer system right here and onto the network, thinking I got it out there to the masses, that it just goes right down in the drain to file number 9. So everything that I'm saying right now is just going right down the pipe. I see it going out there, and then it goes right down the drain. I've tested the waters with Shaziz Radio. I've tested the waters with YouTube. I've tested the waters with Facebook and Twitter, everywhere. Trying to use everything known to how the internet actually functions to see how far information can actually travel. If you're listening in right now, you're either one of the good guys, or you're one of the handlers. If you're an environmentalist out there and you're not supporting alternative energy researchers, then you don't care about the whole Green New Deal / planet / sustainability lie that has been perpetrated on humanity. There are still people out there starving to death. I'm asking why. There are still people out there homeless. I'm asking why. There are still people out there dying of sicknesses that should already be cured, and I'm asking why. Somebody tell me why. if it isn't for control, if it isn't for population suppression, or if it isn't for some sort of sick joke, whatever, tell me why. Tell me why there's homeless people. Tell me why there's starving people. Tell me why there's sick people in a world that nature has provided every single solution that you can possibly imagine. For the greed and the money and all the things that the power structure loves so much. The military-industrial complex that all these Save the Planet people support by their actions. I have absolutely zero respect for the modern day environmentalist. I have absolutely zero respect for the Save the Tree people or the Save the Planet people. And I have less than zero respect for anyone who believes in the climate change lie. Now that sounds harsh, but there's time when it comes down to where you have to put some harsh words on the table, because either put up or shut up. Either these people want to save the planet or they want to save the system. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's time to step on one side of the fence or the other. You're either going to save the government and the bankers and the corporations and the oil companies, or you're going to save the people. And you're going to save the planet. The lie is so embedded into people's minds like a tick on a dog. And you can try to pick that tick off of there, but that tick is so embedded into it that you're never going to completely get that tick off. And the infection that comes afterwards is what does the damage. I don't know how to get through to the minds of the masses. But this whole thing about free energy and alternative energy, the green energy hypocrisy, is why Mad Science Show is live. And even if the Mad Science Show is getting funneled down into the sewer drain, and even if the YouTube censorship and suppression and muddying of the water by all the bogus free energy devices out there that aren't nothing more than ad farms that YouTube promotes by allowing these people to be monetized while scamming and lying to people, it gives those people leverage so that if a guy like me says, I got it, I got free energy, and I put it out there on the table, immediately I'm a scam artist. Immediately I'm questionable. Immediately somebody's got to debunk me. And if the math adds up, guess what? OSHA's is dead. Well, I'm not looking to get dead anytime soon. I'm sitting here contemplating on whether or not I even want to try to start or keep moving forward. Because it's so incredibly aggravating. That you're looking at the answer to solve so many problems in this world. And you shout it and shout it and shout it. And your friends, your own friends, tell you you're standing on a soapbox. Your own friends tell you that you're ranting. Your own friends tell you that the only thing that you do is talk about it. You don't never do nothing. Your own friends in your own circle hinder you by trying to tell you that things are not possible. I know that my research works. I have watched my research in my mind mechanically over and over and over and over and over and over again, and it does not defy any of the known laws of physics. It takes every single law of physics and uses it to my advantage. And it will do exactly what I say. Now somehow, some way, I'm going to build me a lab. And I'm going to try to find the most trusted of the people in my circle. And we're going to have to hide in secrecy, and we're going to have to build. But 30 days from the time that that lab opens up and my team, my dream team, goes into that lab, we will come out with a proven device. And you can take that one to the bank. And before that device sees the light of day, every bit of documentation, every bit of information, every bit of math, every bit that would defy any debunker to even remotely try to say it's not possible will be shattered and spread to all four points of the compass. Because that's the only way, by quite literally opening Pandora's box with a vengeance, that you're ever going to see free energy come to the light. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Green energy hypocrisy is what we're dealing with. There ain't no real environmentalist out there. All these folks that claim they want to save the planet have a million and one excuses why it is you can't do what it is that I'm saying can be done. So, what do I do? Do I start making videos again on YouTube and waste more time? Do I continue to do mad science shows on Saturdays and waste more time and more money? You know, it's like throwing money right down the drain. It costs me a lot of money to run what these networks that I'm running. It costs me a lot to maintain the electrical and the equipment. And I have my ups and downs and my crashes. And somehow or another, with duct tape and bailing wire, I hold it all together. And when you find one person that comes out there and supports you unquestionably, and you give them that information, and then you turn around and you don't hear from them, not a peep, for 2 months afterwards, after knowing for a fact that it works, it starts to make you want to question your own mortality. Am I ready to die for a cause that not even the green energy proponents or whatever, green energy, the people who plant, who are supposed environmentalists, supposed want to save the planet people, the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world, the uneducated buffoons that are sitting in Senate seats and Congress seats and parliaments and all kinds of different governmental organizations, environmentalists or whatever. They ain't come to the table. They won't come to the table. They need something to complain about. They're not about getting things done. And when your own friends are your worst enemies when it comes to proving what it is that you're trying to prove, when they want to try to tell you that you're standing on a soapbox, and me, that's the most degrading thing that my friends have ever said. You're ranting. You're on a soapbox. All you talking, you never get nothing done. Jump over there to my YouTube channel. There's over 200 and some odd videos. All have relevance to what it is that I'm talking about. All of them had a purpose. All of them were to test the waters. All of them were to see how far I could get information to spread before I take and put everything that I've got on the table and watch it go down the drain. right now I can't even get past this brick wall and invite people into these chat rooms because I'm not secure. So what is to tell me that if I put the information on the table that it's going anywhere? So I go out and I buy a thousand or a million flash drives and I put a ton of information on there and I start handing it off to everybody and his brother and then telling them to hand it off to their brother, make copies and more copies and copies and just hand it hand to hand, pass the note. I don't have the money for that kind of campaign. That's a lot of money when you're talking about a lot of time to copy all these flash drives. Now you get me a group of people willing to assist me in pushing all this information out like that, then we might actually get it done. I kept telling everybody, download these videos before you can't. And I don't care if the video looks stupid. I don't care if it's unbelievable. I don't care if you think it's bogus. Read the doggone description. If there's a question mark, it's asking you, do you think this is possible? But I've been called everything under the sun, and then some. Filthy stuff. I probably blocked a million people from my channel because I was tired of being cussed at. I don't want to talk to people who can't think critically. I don't want to talk to people who can't come back and say, well, you know, I don't know about this, but this because this doesn't match these laws of physics, and actually have a conversation with me so we can troubleshoot our way through whatever they think is the problem with this deal. I would rather have somebody come out there and say, I don't believe it's working because of this, and then we sit there and we talk about why it is that it could be possible. But it's like, if you think that we went to the moon, then you're always going to think that we went to the moon. And so you're going to argue with those about the science regardless of whatever the facts might be. If you think that we didn't go, and your mind is stuck in that rut, you're not going to have that conversation. You can't talk to two people and bring these two people together for a reasonable discussion when they both think that each other is an idiot, regardless of where the information came from. So, the green energy hypocrisy won the war, and the people lost. That's what's going to be the word down the line. Artificial intelligence is going to take over for people's brains. You're not even going to have to think for yourself anymore. You just go along to get along. And if you ever get the urge to talk out against somebody, they'll suppress that too. They'll have medication just for that. You won't get out of line. George Orwell's 1984. Or Brave New World. That's the future of humanity. And that disgusts me. People that put up Georgia Guidestones and talk about depopulating the planet. Guys like freaking Bill Gates talking about if we do a good job with vaccinations that we can reduce the population. Are you serious? Those who claim space is real say that we're going to have to travel there one day because we're going to destroy this planet. They're not even working on building nothing to go there, so what's the point? Why would you want to depopulate the planet if you want to populate the universe? Don't make any sense. You're going to need millions of people in order to populate the outer space, if it's there. Now, common sense isn't so common anymore. It doesn't rule the day. All we get is ludicrous propaganda. When your own friends want to use the system's words to suppress you, depress you, oppress you, discourage you, well then, we got a problem. We can't even sit here and have a political debate without people getting angry and throwing a fit and running off. We can't even gather together and talk about things in a respectful manner and take these solutions and solve the world's problems. Because every time we get close, guess what? In comes the agitator. In comes the one that destroys the dream team. I was this close to having the perfect dream team. Guys and gals that had amazing talent, that thought outside the box, and it only took one person and his words behind the scene to destroy that entire deal. That's it. One person. You want to talk about the power of the spoken word? One person destroyed the only opportunity at that time to give to the world exactly what it is that they said they wanted. Clean, renewable, alternative, sustainable energy. It would have been done by now. But one person came in and blew it all out of the water. So, what do I do? If you're an environmentalist and you want to save the planet, you really seriously want to save the planet, then you need to show up. You need to bring a friend. If you're one of those ones out there that think that there's a problem in the world that needs resolved, you need to show up and bring a friend. Push past the security gate that Google has put on all the good networks. Have a little bit of guts and come into a little chat room and put your point of view on the table. Or add me on Skype and call in. It's that simple. Everyone says, oh, I'm just one man. I can't do nothing. What am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to gather with your friends and their friends and their friends, come to a agreement and go into your communities and take these solutions and implement them and prove it. We put video after video after video, link after link after link. We've done radio show after radio show. And what do we get in return? Obviously not physical support, because there's only 4 people in Shaziz Radio chat room. Thanks to Google. Thank you very much, Google. I appreciate you running off all my friends. That's nice. And as far as the information going out there, as far as the podcasts have been available for years. Thank you, Google. Thank you, YouTube. Thank you, environmentalist. Thank you, government. Thank you, Congress and Senate and Parliament and presidents. Thanks to the EPA. Thanks to the oil industry, the military industrial complex. Y'all are hypocrites. Y'all lying, propagandizing hypocrites. It's plain and simple. Your actions speak louder than words. You said we had trouble. I stepped up to the plate. Stan Meyer stepped up to the plate. Tesla stepped up to the plate. John Bedini stepped up to the plate. John Searle stepped up to the plate. And John Hutchinson, poor guy, stepped up to the plate. Everyone who stepped up to the plate either paid physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or with their ultimate life. So for those folks out there that say, well, why don't you just release it all? Why don't you just put it on the table? You tell me why I should risk my life to satisfy you. You tell me why I should risk my life and my family to satisfy the world. I can't do what the system won't allow me to do without you. If you're not willing to share links, I ain't asking you for your money. I'm not asking you to reach into your bank account and give me any money. I'm asking you to get people here. That's it. That's simple. Get them here. And if they won't come here, take the message to them that if they want to fix this world, we can do it. We can fix this world. We can fix everything. But I, as far as things go, I'm just standing here talking out the side of my neck because I might as well be shouting into the corner of a brick wall. Somebody's got to get this information past the wall. Somebody's got to get it past Google. Somebody's got to get it past Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media platforms out there that don't want real solutions. You think the government couldn't solve something if they really wanted to solve something? Think about what I'm about to say here for a second. Let's say it was $50 million a year that they give to the United Nations Climate Change Fund. You tell me that if I had $50 million that I could take and do research on it, if I am the man that I say I am and I can do what I say I can do and I take that $50 million, you tell me that I couldn't come out with a doggone water engine or provable device within 30 days of the time that that money hit my bank account? Because if you got that kind of money, you can pay somebody enough money to put their ego down, and as long as they're making that money, they'll do the work. But if you don't have that kind of money, if you ain't got nothing to offer it, I've got friends with talent that will not do anything for me at all unless I pay them. They got the tools. They got the talent. But if I don't give them money, they will not do the work. So $50 million going down the toilet to the UN Climate Change Fund could have been the money to prove all the science once and for all. I'm ready to take my house off the power grid when it comes down to the technology that is in existence. I am not ready to take my house off the power grid until I know that the information is available for everyone out there. And until I know that I'm not going to have to look over my shoulder the rest of my life, which might very well be very short, the moment I prove that technology, I'm Tesla. I'm Stan Myers. I'm John Bedini. The moment that technology is proven, Shaziz ceases to exist in this realm. And there's only one way around it. When you open Pandora's box and everyone knows, then there ain't no reason to kill you anymore, because everyone knows. So that's my ultimate goal. And if you folks think that I don't have a dead man switch, then you obviously don't understand how the system works. Because I'd be dead already. But there's something that they need that I have. And until they get it, I feel pretty confident that I'm fairly safe. But the moment they get it, that's when the game changes. So I'm proceeding with caution. I might do another YouTube video. I might not. I might get on another live stream on Twitch. I might not. I might do another mad science show. I might not. I'm testing the water. That's all I got. Because I'm not stupid. I've seen what happened to everybody else. I'm not stupid. If I wanted to claim and become famous, well, then I'd have done did it. If I wanted to claim, prove, and become rich, then I'd have done did it. But this is personal to me. This hasn't got anything to do with fame or fortune. This has to do with mad science and why mad science exists. We're told that people are starving in this world. We're told that people are homeless in this world. We're told that people are dying of sicknesses that they shouldn't be dying of in this world. And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the answers. And I shout it to doctors. I shout it to electronics engineers, electricians. I shout it to all four points of the compass. Look into this. Look into this. Look into this. Look at this link. Look at this researcher. This can be done. I'm going to do what I can. But I'm telling you folks, it's been a rough road. I'm going to keep on pushing forward as long as I can. But I'm going to tell you this. With every step I take, I'm taking precautions. My friend I haven't seen for 2 months. I don't know whether he just took the information and ran, or if he's not even with us anymore. But until I know for sure that that man is safe, and that I didn't cause his death by giving him information that proved his technology, I'm going to take things slow. I'm going to find out. Trust me, I'm going to find out. And I'm going to be real cautious about the friends that I take anymore. If a friend is there to encourage you, and to work beside you, and to have your back, that's a friend. But if a friend is there to discourage you, to basically send you off in the wrong direction, not such a friend. Not so much. Nature has proven free energy. Shaziz Radio has proven free energy. Shaziz Mad Science has over-proven free energy. And anybody out there who thinks they can go toe-to-toe in a debate, step up to the plate. Bring all your Bill deGrasse Tysons or Neil deGrasse Tysons or Bill whatever the heck he is. The fake scientist on the TV shows. Bring all your Mythbusters. Bring all your best of the best. Bring all your environmentalists. Bring anyone out there that says that there's a problem that can't be solved. I'm throwing down the gauntlet once again. If they got the guts to stand up to Shaziz, bring them to the table. We're either going to get it done we're going to watch society collapse in on itself. It's that simple. I'm taking a music break. I'm going to have to do a lot of thinking. Probably twice as much as I've already been doing for years. I'm trying to find a reason to keep doing what it is that I do. But this matrix that we find ourselves in has me listed as not secure. No matter what I do. YouTube, worst place in the world to share information. YouTube used to be a good platform. It used to be a people platform. Now it's a place of suppression. And they sure as heck ain't going to get rich on YouTube. Tell me why it is that I should keep going. Stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science.
We'll be right back. name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
So, folks, you're listening to Mad Science. My friend Stephen Gibbons in the chat room hit the nail right on the head. He said, I can't give you a reason to continue, my friend. That has to come from you. The reason I have not given up is love of family and friends. It seems it's just who I am. Laugh out loud. If what you are doing isn't working, doing it again and expecting different results is the definition of madness. Yeah, that's true. Maybe time for a change. Try something new, brother. Look. The reason why we do what we do here on Chaziz Radio and People for People Radio Network is because we really actually do care. Stephen Gibbons took a lot of time out of his own personal time to put together a page that's linked above the Super Chat room. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's Stephen's resource page. And he put link after link after link and video of alternative energy researchers, everything to do, you know, with you know, the solutions necessary. You take all these free energy devices or all these different research subjects and you look at it into it, and there's always something good in every single one. That you take all these pieces of the puzzle and you put them in conjunction with each other, and you have a resolution to the problem. You have a solution, an actual solution. The folks that do what it is that they do out of love for their fellow humans and out of a hope for a better new future for all of mankind, those are the folks on the dream team. Folks that share the links and share a podcast, those are folks on the dream team. Tomorrow we do the Knights of the Round Table show, and those are folks on the dream team. We talk about problems in the world. We talk about solutions to those problems. We talk about all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's not pleasant to talk about the bad things that go on in the world. But if nobody knows what the problem is, and nobody's there with a solution to said problem, and nobody's talking about it, then absolutely nothing gets done. If you do something, then at least something gets done. But if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. Now, I said we had problems, and many people stepped to the forefront in order to help resolve these problems. And many of those people, good people, paid the ultimate price. Sorry about the long music break. I just had to take a little breather. And that happens once in a while. Because you don't want to sound like you're yelling at your friends. You don't want to sound like you're preaching to the choir. But sometimes, it's like that. It sounds that way. I might come off as a loudmouth know-it-all, but my intentions are pure. I'm in this for the right reason. And if somewhere in this world they told me there was a starving baby, I want that baby fed. Somewhere in this world they told me that there's homeless people that are sick and they need help and they need things. I want them to be cared for. This world that we live on has provided every single thing necessary, all the resources in such great abundance, that there's no reason for all this. The wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, the famine, the pestilence, they're man-made. The lies, the propaganda, the greed, they're man-made. But the gifts that we've been given in such great abundance are, in my view, from a higher power. Some say God. Some say creator. Doesn't matter how we get there. What matters is that everything that exists on this earth, everything that has been provided for us, all the energy we could ever use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes, we never going to starve to death if we use everything wisely. If we learn from nature, if we work in harmony with nature, if we use natural science instead of the bogus propagandizing, indoctrinating science of the school book, if we use the power of our minds to be what it is that we're actually capable of being, we could make quite literally a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Now, is that an easy task? Obviously not, because we've been at this for a long time. I've been researching and studying science all my life. I've been working in alternative energy. I've been studying everything that there is to know about energy. And I know we got the answers. I know we got it solved. The question is, when are our fellow brothers and sisters going to put down the weapons of war and pick up the tools of love? You don't hear many science guys talking about loving your brothers and sisters and peace and hope, and can't we all just get along and make a better world? You hear them talking about why it is we can't do stuff, as opposed to why it is we can. So I do what it is that I do for the same reason my friend Steven does it. For the same reason my friend Gary over there at People for People Radio keeps doing what he's doing. The same reason Patty and Barbara and Barry and Angeline and Annie and Crazy Fox and neutrons, protons, and electrons. Same reason we all do it. Because we believe in a better future for those that come after us. I tell everybody that we're the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, and the brothers of our children and our children's children's future, and what we do today will define the world that they live in. And it's the truth. You do something, something gets done. You do nothing, absolutely nothing gets done. Folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Pass the podcast around, download it, share it with somebody, hand it off hand to hand if you have to. Get past the Google wall. Get past the not secure. Because I'm shouting and shouting and shouting until I'm hoarse. I'm shouting until I'm blue in the face. I'm ready to help the world, but the world has to be ready to help each other. That unity thing you keep hearing about, if we never achieve unity with our fellow brothers and sisters around this world, we'll never see the future we dream of. And the status quo of the military-industrial complex, the banking industry, the corporates, the governmental control structure, that big beast that's eating us all alive, well, it gets to keep doing to us what it's been doing to us for years, for decades, for generations. It keeps that system in place. It sends our families to war with your families. I, for one, had enough. I've had enough of Google, Facebook, YouTube, all the social media networks out there that can't seem to get their act together those networks out there, they can't scratch the surface of the goodness that is on People for People Radio. Those other networks out there can't scratch the surface of what Shaziz Radio stands for. What the Mad Science Show and the Knights of the Round Table is all about. They can't scratch the surface. They can't compete with us, so they have us listed as not secure. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
When I was a little boy, I swore that I would change the world. When I grew up, nothing else would be enough. I see it every day. We set off for a save. Good news, I
Starship Enterprise, its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.